Two guys with beards, one guy with sideburns and a soul patch. A podcast about beer for beer lovers all across the country. From Boston to Dallas to Las Vegas, this is Beer Coasters.
Hello and welcome to the Beer Coasters podcast, a weekly podcast dedicated to beer from coast to coast and everywhere in between. I'm Chris and I'm in Dallas, Texas.
I'm Mike and I'm in Boston, Massachusetts.
And hey, this is Toby. I'm in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And welcome to episode number one.
Episode number one.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to go ahead and go through an outline of the show real quick and let you know what we're all about and what we're going to be covering every week. And then we'll go into some more stuff.
And drink some beer.
Yes.
Good beer.
First thing we want to do is talk about some personal background and just give a little insight into who we are and where we're coming from and what makes us think we could possibly provide any insight into beer drinking. And then we'll go through and we'll cover a little bit of beer news, some stuff that we've found over the course of the past week or so, or longer, as the case may be. Then we're going to do some beer tasting. And when we do the beer tasting, we're going to go through and we'll do a group tasting first, which should be a beer that's generally available to just about all the listeners, at least it should be.
All 50 states, pretty much.
Yeah, and this week we're going to be talking about Stone Brewing's Arrogant Bastard Ale, a personal favorite of mine. After that, we'll go into some individual tastings. Toby, what are you going to be covering this week?
This week I'm doing Deschutes Brewing Company's new Cinder Cone Red.
Sounds delicious.
It's a new spring that they just released.
Sweet. And Mike, what are you going to be covering this week?
I'm going to be covering Magic Hat Brewing Company's number 9. And that's out of South Burlington, Vermont.
Cool. And I'm going to be covering a Fort Worth brew from Rahr & Sons called the Blind Salamander Pale Ale, part of their Rare Breed series. So after we get done with the tastings, then we'll go on and we'll talk about... we have a little segment called the Tweet of the Week, which is basically we keep an eye out on the all the Twitter postings for... that involve beer for the whole week, and then we hopefully find something that's amusing.
And can I just say real quick, I've never tweeted or twitted or twatted or whatever you call it. so that's all you guys.
I'm pretty sure you need not twatted.
You need to do that. That's a whole different website.
Yeah, that's a completely different website.
I'm not going to talk about that. No, you can do that in the privacy or in your own home.
We're going to try and keep this clean as a podcast.
Right.
After the tweet of
my
the week,
apologies.
Then we'll, in the future, this week, it'll be the tweet of the week, and then we'll go into our closing. But in the future, we'd like to have some feedback, hopefully, that we'll be provided by you, the listeners.
Yes.
Getting some emails and whatnot from people. Hopefully.
And what's the email address?
The email address would be beercoasters@beercoasterspodcast.com.
Okay, nice.
And then hopefully for future segments, we'd like to get into some breweries and maybe do some interviews with brewers, do some brewery tours. We'd like to be covering some festivals in the different areas. And at some point in the future, I'd like to do a home brewing segment where I'll do some home brewing and talk about it and see if we can't make our own beer for a change.
Which won't be even remotely as good as the stuff that we're going to review, but
right.
But we'll try.
Well,
I don't know. The first batch that Chris made, I was pretty impressed by.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but Chris can cook. I can't.
So,
anybody got a toothpick?
Nice inside. Anyway, so I guess what we'll do now is we'll go ahead and, Toby, if you want to go ahead and start us out and you kind of talk about where you're coming from and give us a little background on you.
All right, yeah, my name's Toby. I'm currently in Las Vegas, Nevada. I've been here for about 3 years, originally from San Diego, California. and I love craft beer. I'm a big fan of, well, most of the stuff I've had, because I'm on the West Coast, is, you know, California breweries, Oregon, Washington, those type. So I'm a huge fan of the West Coast styles, mostly the IPAs. I like my hops, but I also like
big and bold.
I like Belgian ales. Pretty much anything. There's not too many styles out there that I don't like, except for maybe lagers is probably the low end of my list, and skunky beers.
But, really, not a big fan of the horse blanket.
No.
No horse.
Or the
blanket.
Skunk. No. But yeah, I actually didn't really start getting into the craft beer scene until, I mean, I've kind of dabbled in it since for the past 10 years or so, but I haven't really gotten serious about it until probably about 5 years ago, when we got a kegerator in our house. You know, big thanks to the wife. She's the one who kind of said, let's get a kegerator for our tiny apartment. And anyway,
you
so
are a
ever
lucky,
since then,
lucky man.
Yes, lucky man indeed.
Yes, there's nothing like beer on tap at home.
Or a wife that comes up with the idea for it.
Absolutely.
So, actually, I just thought of this the other day. The one moment I think that really kickstarted it all for me was the 8th annual Stone Beer Festival. I think that was when... excuse me, sorry. I think, Chris, you're the one who said, let's go to it, and we got tickets and went. And ever since then, I think I've been... That's when I really got pretty serious about it.
That's back when you could actually still walk around when you go there.
Yeah.
Now it's so crowded you can't hardly
move.
But still, I mean, if anybody's out in San Diego around that time and gets the chance to go, it's worth going, because there's...
Yeah.
I don't know if you can find that many beers in one place and with as many people that actually enjoy drinking it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Great,
I've been to, you know, three... When did we go? Maybe three of them?
I've been to three. I think the 10th was the last one I went to.
Yep, same here.
Me too. Missed 8, 9, and 10.
Yep, missed last year's.
But yeah, that's it for me.
All right. Mike, you want to go ahead and go into a little bit of your background?
Sure. I am originally from here, the Boston area. I lived here till I was about 19, and I moved to Florida. Lived in Florida about 10 years, lived in Las Vegas for about 2 years, and the past 7 years I was in San Diego, and that's where I met Toby and Chris, and that's kind of how we all know each other, is from San Diego. As far as me getting into beer, I think the first beer I had was a Harpoon IPA that actually kind of woke me up and said, you know, like, whoa, what is this? So it was just something completely different. Not that I necessarily even... liked it at that point, but it was kind of a wake up to say, hey, you know, what's this? And there was more out there.
It's hard for your first craft beer to be an IPA.
To be an IPA.
Oh, this is great.
Absolutely. Which, you know,
that's definitely something you got to ease into.
Right. And here's our first episode, and we're going with Arrogant Bastard for our first review. Exactly. So, you know, it's all or nothing in this podcast. And that's just
right.
The way it's going
right.
to be. But, yeah, and then, you know, periodically I'd try other ones. I wasn't kind of hardcore into craft brews for the most part. I know I didn't like the other beer. We won't name any breweries in particular, but anything that's got the rice and the corn in it just wasn't cutting it for me. It didn't have.
Oh, you had into
flavor.
Those adjuncts?
Yeah. But, I've had some other ones. There was some, Belhaven Scottish Ale that I liked quite a bit. All kind of probably around the mid 90s where I really kind of started discovering it, probably late 90s, and kind of just blew up from there. And San Diego, I mean, I don't know if you can get much better, really, in my taste. Alesmith Brewery is one of my favorites out there. San Diego's got some great breweries, and, you know, luckily coming back here to New England now, there's plenty of good breweries here in New England as well, so good thing I didn't, you know, move somewhere where there's absolutely no beer being brewed whatsoever, because that would be a sad, sad place for me to live.
Yeah.
And on that note, I'm Chris in Dallas, Texas, and that's pretty much my story.
Oh, come on. You got stuff out there. And no, you get to cover the whole, what is it, mountain, central and mountain area.
Yeah, we kind of broke up our designated areas based on time zone, and you know, Mike having the East Coast and Toby having the West Coast. Pretty much, you know, they had quite a few breweries where the middle of the country, not that there aren't really good breweries in the middle of the country, there definitely
are.
Oh,
you'll find some.
Oh yeah,
you'll find.
But they're definitely a little bit harder to find than on the coasts. But I will definitely be able to find my share. So, Mike, is that all you had for yours?
No, I guess mainly just the style. I didn't mention actually the styles that I like the most, and I would say that definitely the West Coast IPA is up there, and I also love porter. So if I had to pick just two styles, that would definitely be, you know, the two.
Yeah.
But I do like everything kind of in between. I have kind of revisited the Hefeweizens, and it was a style that I wasn't particularly fond of before, but now I'm definitely a fan. And there are even
good.
Some Pilsners out there that I do like, but I'm more into the Imperial style of the Pilsners.
Sam had an Imperial Pilsner.
Yes, which was, you know, surprisingly very good. Yeah, I guess that's about it. I didn't want to leave without mentioning what I actually like.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm...
And you like to Twitter.
Yes, I do like to... I like to tweet. I do. And you should, too.
So yeah, once again, my name's Chris. I'm here in Dallas, Texas. I've been here for almost 3 years now. Moved out here for a job, before that, I was in San Diego. I was in San Diego for most of my life. I had gone to San Francisco for a couple years to school, but most of my life has been spent in San Diego, and grew up there and other parts of California. But the I guess my entrance into the world of craft beer, you know, I've always been a beer drinker back in, you know, high school. I definitely had my share of not that this is a beer, but Mickey's malt liquor was definitely a
oh yeah.
And I went through a Bud Ice phase, which if I had any credibility coming into this podcast, I probably just lost most of it.
You know, I did the same thing, and I really don't understand why.
Yeah. But I think all
it got
all
you
my
is what it did.
That
sorry,
did.
You have to bleep that. Sorry.
I think back then you just kind of drink what you could get.
What
you
could get, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, you didn't really have access to anything craft related. Not that there even was that much craft related back then.
Right.
You know,
not
in the early 90s. So, but I think the turning point for me and Toby, you'll probably remember this, is PB Bar and Grill and Pyramid's Hefeweizen. We were talking about Hefeweizens a little while ago, Mike, starting to turn back to them. That was definitely my entrance was Pyramid's Hefeweizen when I started to appreciate what beer could taste like as opposed to just getting you effed up. But
see, that's a nice, smooth, light introduction,
yeah.
As opposed to
yeah,
giving you
as opposed
an IPA.
To an IPA.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then I been on and off since then, drinking different, you know, whatever I could get my hands on. I really like to try to find new things as often as possible. I sort of go through phases as in regards to what I. The style that I like, you know, I'll go from, I was definitely really into IPAs and the hoppier, the better, the more hops I could get, the better. I just loved the aroma and the taste of the hop. And I think now I'm starting to move a little more towards malty sides of stuff. I really like your Belgians and, Three Philosophers comes to mind as far as a really good, like, sweet
yeah,
kind of
a good one.
Nice beer. So, you know, depending on the mood that I'm in, I'll drink whatever.
Except see, this isn't a video podcast yet, but when he said that, all three of us had a big smile on our face.
Actually, touching on that subject, this will eventually be a video podcast. When we kind of started talking about this, our initial concept was to do a video podcast.
As soon as I grow a beard.
Yeah.
Both me and Mike. That might be a really long time.
Beards, so. But logistically, with us being in three different places and me trying to edit that together, we figured we'd start off a little bit smaller and ease our way into that. But definitely keep an eye out. That is the ultimate goal, is to be a video podcast and weekly. So. Well, good. You guys have anything else to say as far as an introduction goes? And you guys have any thoughts on what your hopes and expectations are for the show?
Well, you did mention one thing before about, you know, what, you know, having credibility or whatever. I guess I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but we're just three guys that enjoy beer. We love craft beer. We love promoting it and drinking it and finding new things.
Yeah.
And over the time that we spent drinking it, we have been able to pick out different types of smells and tastes and even different types of hops. So we're not saying that we're connoisseurs by any means, but we enjoy it, and we kind of just want to express that to anybody who feels like listening or has opinions.
That's actually to us definitely been a concern of mine, because I think once people start listening to this, there's definitely gonna be people out there that are like hardcore beer drinkers that are gonna be like, these guys don't know what they're talking about, and it's like, it has nothing to do with that. You know, we know what we enjoy. We are gonna try our hardest to express what it is that we're tasting and try to articulate it as best as possible. Yeah.
And so, we apologize.
You
know,
if you don't like it, then maybe this isn't the right place for you. I think we're gonna try to take an approach to the. Well, it's true. We're gonna try and take an approach of trying to be entertaining. We don't want to just be a dry. Well, this beer has horse blanket in it, which I don't understand why that's on a review sheet.
I don't. None of us.
There's
get
only
that.
One so, way you would know what horse blanket tastes like.
Right.
And that's if you tasted horse blanket.
Well, I think it's also just the type, you know, the aroma. If you take a big enough whiff of something, you can taste it, you know what I mean?
I've never been
I don't
that
know
close
what a skunk's
a
butt
blanket.
Tastes like, but I know what skunk but tastes like.
I've never been that close to a horse blanket, Toby. I don't know what kind of things you guys have going on there in Vegas, but so anyway, yeah, that's I do hope people enjoy the show, and I hope people that are entertained by it. I don't want it to be a dry, just strictly review show. I want some enjoyment out of it.
And we will get better with age. We promise. That's for sure. You know, it'll take a little time, work the kinks out, but you know, we'll get better.
Maybe we'll be like Stone's Vertical Epic, and we'll all reach our podcast maturity in 2012.
We're internet conditioned or something.
Nice. Oh, and with that, I think we're going to go ahead and move on to beer news.
Let's do some beer news.
And now, beer news.
And welcome to our beer news segment. This is where we're going to kind of pull some different news stories that apply to the brewing industry, and maybe some upcoming releases that are coming out and that sort of thing. We're going to take the same approach that we do to our beer reviews, and that we'll talk hopefully about some sort of beer news that applies to everybody across the country. And then each one of us will take an article that we kind of find interesting that applies to our area. So the first bit of beer news that I wanted to talk about was yesterday there was a Senate hearing on it mostly had to do with the Obama administration's universal healthcare coverage.
What was yesterday?
Yesterday would be May 12th.
Oh, okay. Sorry, it's a damn arrogant bastard talking.
Actually, but this is going to be like released on the 15th. So
yeah, this will be released on Friday. Sorry about that. Right. We're new to this.
Yes.
So anyway, on May 12th, which would have been Tuesday of this last week, if you're listening to it when it actually comes out, the Obama administration was talking about their healthcare initiative, and one of the things that the Senate Finance Committee put forward was an increase on, and you'll hear about this in the news. The biggest piece of this is going to be they're talking about increasing taxes on like sugary soft drinks, so Coca-Cola and Pepsi and those sort. Yeah, they're trying to find things that are bad for you, and they want to increase the taxes on it so that it reduces consumption and as well as generates new revenue.
Things that are bad.
Let me just read a quick little.
So we get the ice cream and potato chip tax as well?
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
So don't tax my Cap'n Crunch.
So I pulled this article from it linked through Beer Advocate, which is where we pull most of our news stories from, to a site called BeerNet, which is a beer business daily website sort of geared towards brewers. Anyway, it says, testimony to Senate, quadruple beer taxes, push for equalization. In a shocking testimony yesterday to a Senate Finance Committee roundtable on how to fund the Obama administration's $1.2 trillion healthcare initiative for universal coverage, three of the 13 academia experts who testified recommended dramatic increases in the federal excise tax on alcohol as part of their plans. While the mainstream press picked up on the CSPI's, I'm not even sure what that stands for, recommendation of increase in taxes on sugary soft drinks, which I talked about, it was their push for a 50% increase in alcohol taxes, with beer and wine equalized according to alcohol content. So basically what they want to do is tax alcohol even more than it already does. And the problem that I have with this is, they do this with cigarettes, and for cigarettes that makes sense to me. Even soda makes sense to me because it is something that that isn't good for you, and obviously, we want to try to limit consumption on that. If you saw me, you'd be saying, yeah, you have room to talk. But one of the things I find interesting about this is every article that you usually hear about coming out about alcohol is this. So Research X talks about how good beer is for you. Having a regular beer on a regular basis actually reduces your chance for heart disease. And every other time I turn around, there's another article out there talking about the virtues of alcohol. And obviously, maybe not on your liver, but in regards to heart health, alcohol is actually good for you. So it seems strange to me that they would be creating a tax on something to try to limit consumption on, especially to pay for healthcare. So it's like, okay, well, let's take something that may actually be good for you and tax it so that we can increase our healthcare initiative. And that just makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on that, you guys? Or not?
I don't know. I just think they're basically just coming up with something, to charge more money for something else. If it wasn't the tax on alcoholic beverages, then it'd be the cardboard tax, or the hard candy tax, or whatever, the podcasting tax, which we'll probably
see.
Ooh,
that's scary. I'll say that. Cost enough as it is. And speaking of which, we have a tips segment on our website.
Yes, please visit the tip section. Tip us. It will support our
beer drinking,
our bandwidth,
beer drinking,
our beer consumption, because we want to be able to buy good beers. We don't want to,
If nobody tips, then we're going to end up doing reviews on Bud Ice.
Yes. The 30-pack review is just not as interesting. Maybe at the end of the 30, I don't know.
They just brought Dogfish Head into Las Vegas, which I am totally stoked about, right? Mm.
Yes.
I got to say that's some of the most expensive beer I've ever... I'm not saying it's not worth it, but $11 for a 4-pack, you know, I mean, it's good stuff. Don't get me wrong. And it's come a long way. I mean, all the way across the country to get to me. But damn, that's just expensive.
Man, I went to a grocery store the other day, and they had the 120-minute IPA from Dogfish Head, which is really hard to find, for $9.99 for a single 12-ounce bottle.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Which is insane.
I think it's $18.99 or $19.99 for a 6-pack or something like that.
It's just crazy. Wow. But we're perfectly willing to spend that because we like good beer. So anyway, I think that's all we have to say about that that article. Toby, you want to talk about something?
Yeah, I was going to talk about Pyramid Brewing Company out of Seattle, Washington. They just released a new look. They've renamed a few of their beers. They've given it a new attitude, is what they call it. They say it's an expression of the proud tradition of brewing great beer combined with their energy, activity, and the community. That's the essence of the cities where Pyramid brews, and it serves as a collection of award-winning offerings. Anyway, they said they believe that they must constantly evolve their brand, and they're committed to providing craft consumers with interesting beers and experiences that quench their thirst for adventure. But anyway, they came out with this new bold packaging. Same beer, but just new names and packaging. I don't know if you've seen this yet, if it's come to your local liquor store or grocery store, but their Hefeweizen is now called Haywire Hefeweizen. It's got a new label, new artwork on the 6-packs and on the bottles. Their Apricot Ale, their flagship, I think. Their two big beers, I think, is their Hefeweizen and their Apricot Ale. I remember drinking the Pyramid Apricot back in the day, you know, way back when I was like, whoa, they put fruit in beer? I got to check this out. And it's actually one of the only beers with fruit in it that I like, you know. I know there's Strawberry Blondes out there that I think are okay, but this is probably...
Are we still talking about beer? That's...
Actually, Mike, you say that, Mike, but your review this week actually...
Yes.
Is an apricot.
I know. It has apricot flavor. It's and it's not one of your average kind of fruity beers, which I'm not a big fan of, but this is beer news, damn it. Let's stay on topic.
I tell you, if you go to a party where there's going to be hot chicks and you bring some beer,
bring a fruit beer. Yes, bring the blueberry ale, bring the apricot, bring the strawberry, raspberry, tutti frutti ale. It
but
works.
Now the apricot ale is called Audacious Apricot. The IPA is still called the Thunderhead IPA, and they have a new summer blonde called Curveball Blonde. And real quick about Pyramid also is they've earned the most craft beer medals in the last decade at the Great American Beer Festival. And they also have... They have a total of 21 medals from the GABF. So I just wanted to throw that. They also have won seven medals from the World Beer Cup, which is usually held in San Diego, which I'd like to point out.
Yeah, I'm looking at the new packaging.
It's from Pyramid.
I'm looking at the new packaging, and I got to say, I honestly am not that thrilled with it.
Yeah.
It's like they're going after the... the sort of energy drink crowd. And I don't know. For me, I'm more about the classic. Like, I like their old labels. I think it's a classic look. It was, you know, I'm just... Gotta say, I'm not a big fan.
It's kind of a weird move for them to make because, I mean, they're pretty popular and they've set... You know, they've got this look and this name that they've had out there for so long, and they've got these, I don't know, it's kind of weird that they would do this, I think. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. I mean, yeah, whatever, it's this cool new edgy label, whatever, and they changed the names and stuff, but I don't know, I think it's kind of pointless for them to do it, and I wonder how much money it cost them to do this.
Right, quite a bit.
Hopefully it doesn't take away from the quality of their brewing.
Yeah.
No. Well, as the resident graphic designer on this podcast here, I would say that identity and branding is definitely a big deal. And, you know, big companies can do identity changes or what they call like a refresh.
Why are you laughing?
Sometimes it can
make
a big difference.
Because I'm very aware of that fact, because my company was a very large company that went through a huge rebranding last year.
Yeah. And it's something that happens all the time. With Pyramid, I got a chance to look. I haven't looked at all their labels and seen the whole overall concept of their design. But I don't think, from what I've seen, that it was a bold enough move in a different direction. I don't think that it was. It doesn't really have that, wow, this is this much different. To make a difference.
I guess my problem.
You know,
with
it's nice. It's got some newer colors, and it's a little cleaner.
A beer. It's not a sport drink.
That's right, and you're right, and it does kind of have that sport drink. No pun intended. Flavor to it.
The Haywire is a picture of a guy rock climbing.
It's very cliff bar. You know, that's like what it reminds me of when I see it, because it's a very, rebranding is very common. I actually have a job right now where I do it for companies, but I just don't think that Pyramid really hit. I think they missed the mark. You know, I just don't think that they did it as well as they could have.
Now, if you want to see a great example of branding, go to www.beercoasterspodcast.com. Mike designed the logo, and it's awesome.
Anyway,
Mike, it's your turn for some news, man. Hit us with some East Coast news.
Oh, East Coast news. Here we go. This story is from maintoday.com, and this was actually posted yesterday, which is not actually yesterday. If this is posted on the 15th, this was actually May 12th, even though today is May 13th. But the news is about the new Maine Beer Trail, and the Maine Restaurant Association and the Maine Brewers Guild announced the Maine Beer Trail. I'm going to kind of paraphrase the article here a little bit, but it's basically a tourist attraction. It's trying to get tourists to come to Maine and see some of the award-winning craft breweries. I mean, Maine, in the article it says it's widely known for, award-winning craft beer. I don't know if Maine is that, but there's definitely some breweries. There's a good dozen breweries or more. And it's to try to get the people to come to Maine and check out the beer, because there is some good craft breweries in Maine, and this is basically a trail that kind of sets up a guide to like a dozen different breweries and brew pubs in Maine, and they actually have kind of a simple brochure that they have that is just kind of a simple guide to the dozen different breweries. It sounds like a pretty cool concept, and definitely in the future, I'm going to go up there and we'll check it out, and, we'll see who we can talk with, and we'll have some footage of what's going on in the Maine Beer Trail. I love the concept. I would like to see more of that. You know, Boston has the Freedom Trail of like, hey, here's everything, with Paul. Well, why can't we have beer trails? It's brilliant. I love it.
Anything that brings more
attention to the craft beer industry and good beer. I'm all for it. So, have beer circus next, I'm all for it.
This is a great idea, and it really, I hope that it catches on, and I hope it does well, because I'd really like to see this expand into more places. I'd like to see more areas do this sort of thing, and not just, so that you can hit all the sort of known craft breweries, but I guarantee you there's one or two on there that I've never heard of. And so you're going to hit some stuff that you may find your next favorite beer at a brewery you never even heard of. Mm-hmm. And I like this idea of being able to venture out and I would love to do a beer vacation.
Well, you know, when I was in San Diego last, I was walking up to Hamilton's Tavern, which is in South Park, and there was a bus sitting outside. It was one of those kind of tour bus-looking things, and it was, I forget what it was said on the side. It was something like Beer Tours or something like that, beertours.com, and there were people coming out of the bar and getting on the bus and taking off. If I was, you know, traveling to a new city, I would probably do a little research and see if that type of thing doesn't already exist in that town. Yeah. And
a pub crawl with some good beer would be
more
of good.
Good beer bars instead of the actual breweries. But I wonder if that mm-hmm. does exist in more places. You know, you go to San Diego and you can take a tour to all the different breweries. You know, I mean, there's a lot, but yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if something like that existed in a town like that. You know, you go to Portland or Seattle or something like that, and you can take a tour. I mean, that would be really cool if there was something like that.
I wish there was something like that here, but I don't know that there's enough here to warrant a tour.
There was one thing. I spent some time in New Zealand back in 2000, and there was one thing that we actually missed that we wanted to do was a pub crawl, but it was on horseback.
Wow.
And I thought, nice. Man, that would be that would well, be pretty cool.
Sounds dangerous.
It sounds really cool when you first say it.
Right.
And then you think about it for a second, go, yeah, maybe not.
It was the one thing that we didn't actually get to do, but it sounded
might,
interesting to me.
You might run
me,
into all your beers tasting like horse blanket.
Tasting like horse blanket, yeah, for a completely different reason. But anyway, yeah, that's my beer news from MaineToday.com. If anybody's up in that area, they should check it out because it seems like it's pretty new, and you get to see like you know Shipyard Brewing Company, Atlantic Brewing Company. There's quite a few. It lists I guess like a dozen or more. So check it out.
Excellent. So this week I'm going to talk about. Normally we'll cover news over the past week or so, but being since this is the first podcast, I reached back a little bit further to find something that I kind of wanted to talk about, and this applies to a Texas brewery bill that was voted on about a month ago, House Bill 2094, and basically the idea behind the bill was that small local brewers that produce less than 250,000 barrels a year would be allowed to provide a small amount of beer on the premises. So if somebody went in and you know took a tour of the brewery, at the end of the brewery they could buy a six pack, or they could you know go to the brewery to get a keg filled. As it stands right now, that's not something you can do, which baffles me. I just don't understand why you would not be able to buy a beer from the brewery directly. So, it was voted down with a 5-2 vote. It doesn't look like they'll get to vote on it again.
Who are those two people?
Until 2011, I don't know.
They.
No, they were the good ones because they were the ones voted for it. Sorry. It's the five that.
Oh.
And I don't understand this. I don't understand how what legislators think is the reasoning behind. Restricting access to craft beer, like I mean, I know there's the what'd you guys call it?
Sucky.
No.
The what?
You guys are a great help.
I don't know what
we're talking about.
The thing that they talked about in the beer movie.
Oh, the three-tier?
The three-tier.
Oh, the three-tier.
There you
system.
Go.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did that.
Thanks for helping out, guys.
Yes.
Well, Mike, you said that before, and so
well, we did this
I was
once
just
already.
Leaving it up to you.
Oh. Yeah, just so everybody in the listening
we messed
world
up,
is
okay?
aware.
We messed up.
I messed up. Something happened with my recording, and this is kind of take two about my segment. They all nailed their beer news segments. And
Of course.
Decided I didn't want to record or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Well, we finished our Arrogant Bastard. I don't know about you.
My Arrogant Bastard's done.
Oh, okay.
Mine's
still
done.
Have a little.
So anyway, which is also going to throw people for a loop, considering this beer news segment actually comes before the tasting. So now we're talking about already finishing the beer tasting.
I like this. This is good. This is good stuff. This
and,
is quality podcast.
And as podcast number one comes to a screeching halt,
do we have that sound effect? Can we put that in?
Yes, we will.
Nice. So anyway, the Texas brewery bill is dead, and apparently they don't want people to be able to access craft beer directly from the breweries, which puts it craft beers at a, you know, significant disadvantage to be able to, you know, provide for people. But
well, they're already at a significant disadvantage. This is
I realize
just kind
that,
of
but they
frosting on the cake for them.
Yeah, it's funny because I was listening to a radio show about a year ago where they had a it was Opie and Anthony. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of Opie and Anthony, but they're a big, like, Howard Stern-style radio show. And they were talking to a legislator that had been voting on some beer legislation. And he just went on and on about, well, what's wrong with the beer that we got? You know, what's wrong with Miller and Coors? Why do we need all these other beers? And it's like, dude, first of all, you don't. You don't have to drink them. But it's not... It's not a matter of do we need them. It's a matter of, which of course we do need them, but it's a matter of it's not your decision to tell me that I can't have them. You know, it's not up to you to restrict my freedom to drink them.
Right.
And so, and you know, that's kind of what this bill feels like to me. It feels like, you know, for whatever reason, we don't want you to have access to it. So, because somebody paid me some money.
Right.
Make it anyway. So that's my article and my attempt at derailing the podcast. Hopefully I was successful. So what are we talking about next?
Let's go into the tweet of the week.
No, the tweet of the week is not next.
Oh, come on. Tweet next. Of the week.
No, next we're talking about our tastings.
Well, you did mention, you know, just as far as that last news article.
Yep.
I just wanted to say that there's an article in, what's it called? LiveScience.com, I think. And number 10 on the list of, like, bad things that are good for you. It's the newest, it says specifically, the newest bad kid on the block is beer. And there's so much truth to that. It's the thing that, okay, this is our new target, you know? Let's target this, you know?
Yep.
And it just bugs me, you know?
It feeds back into the initial news story that I brought up about the Senate hearing and the beer tax, you know?
Yeah.
It's all about... It's and I know, Mike, you're a big proponent of this and the little guy and the, you know... The big companies overtaking the little breweries and the little businesses.
Yeah, I don't want
businesses.
To see mom and pop stuff disappear. You know, I think it's a, you know, I think it's something that we need, and I think that the craft brewing industry is kind of the same thing. It's struggling to. I don't know. It just seems like there's so much against them for just trying to do what seems like the only logical thing to do. You know, it's like, here I am. I'm a guy, and I want to have my own business, and I want to be independent and kind of live the, you know, American dream, so to speak. And, you know, these are the obstacles I have to deal with. I mean, that whole three-tier system to me seems kind of, I don't know.
And the thing that I don't understand from a consumer standpoint, and consumers in general should be up in arms about this sort of stuff, because the more competition that you have, the better your product will be. You know,
absolutely.
the more that, I mean, look at even the big breweries, you know, Budweiser and Miller and Coors are all coming out with craft beer versions of everything,
yeah.
You know,
but they're coming out.
But they're trying, you know,
Yeah, they're trying. I think the reason
here's a perfect
they
example,
come out with
Mike.
New things is to come up with more shelf space. It's like where we can take up this whole wall and kind of push the craft brewers out.
That's part of it, but it's also trying to appeal to the craft beer.
Well,
drinker,
if there's
you know?
Any kind
a
of
perfect example, Mike is when we went
then
to.
Then you don't use extracts. If you're trying to appeal to us, then don't use extracts.
That's
use
the thing.
Real
is
thing.
The
people
who want to
see real shit. They want to see
I'm
natural
not,
sugar. They want to see natural ingredients.
You're misunderstanding. You're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm not saying that they're doing a good job of it. I'm telling you what they're trying to do.
Yeah. When I all see right. that kind
but
of stuff,
a perfect
I don't
example,
worry
Mike,
about
is
it.
Is when is living in San Diego and SeaWorld right there and having a pass to SeaWorld. We would go to SeaWorld, and you know they have their little hospitality center where they hand out free beer. And they were actually, you know, and obviously SeaWorld's an Anheuser-Busch theme park, and so yes. all the products there are Anheuser-Busch. But you walk in the door and you look at the different beers that they offer, and you're like, wait a minute, that's an Anheuser-Busch product? That's weird. Like their Bare Knuckle Stout or their...
Which is the most tolerable beverage they do have there is the Bare Knuckle Stout. Yeah. And I won't say too much bad about that. I won't say that it tastes like a stout, but it's definitely a drinkable beverage.
But the successfulness of the craft brew industry has forced those larger breweries into coming up with creative ways to at least try to appeal to that market. Mm-hmm. And in the process, you know, it drives up creativity.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think legislatures understand that concept. Or they don't care, which is probably more the case. They just care about what they're...
Yeah,
you know,
they get their own agenda. Yeah,
they want their local Budweiser distributor to set up shop in their district, which, you know, whatever. So anyway, so the next thing we're going to cover is, we're kind of recording this out of order, but the next thing that we're going to cover, as far as the listeners are concerned, is our beer reviews, and the first up will be the Arrogant Bastard Ale.
Yes.
So, talk to you in a minute.
Come on and watch us drink some beer. We're gonna talk about it. We're gonna drink some beer. Yeah, here's the beer reviews.
Alrighty. So, for our first combined review, once again, the combined review is going to be sort of a beer that we're hoping... Really, Toby, you can just calm down a little bit.
Chomping at the horse blanket there. I mean,
I'm really anxious. Let's go.
The combined review is hopefully something that's going to be available to most people. I mean, it's a pretty widespread beer. This week, we are talking about Stone's Arrogant Bastard Ale, which is a personal favorite of mine, and I know these two guys like it a lot, too. Mm. Yeah.
I believe that's what it's
strong.
A little background
on the
beer and the brewery.
Technically.
It's brewed by Stone Brewing, which is located in Escondido, California. Brewery opened in 1996. The owners are Steve Wagner and Greg Coach. The brewery itself is amazing. They relocated in 2006 to a location in Escondido. Place is awesome. It's so nice. Unbelievable.
If I could design a backyard for myself, it would be the back of that place.
It's outstanding. And it's connected directly to the brewery. Great restaurant, great food. If anybody ever gets down to San Diego, I highly recommend that be definitely on your list of things to do.
And if...
You gotta stop there. They do three tours a day, free tours. And you should always, you know, book them in advance. Try calling that morning or something. Get there an hour before the tour starts.
Places.
Pretty cool great. Tour.
Yeah, free beer.
And
then, of course, you get the tasting afterwards.
There,
you know, which,
it's not just Stone beers that they have there. They basically carry all the beers that they distribute as well. So, I mean, you get beers like from Avery and it's just, yeah.
Alesmith.
I can't think offhand, but there's quite a few craft breweries that they distribute for, and they have those beers as well, which is nice.
Which is great. Which is something in the craft brew industry that's so awesome is that there's such a camaraderie between breweries, and they're really all about. There's very little competition in the traditional sense of, hey, I want to crush this guy. It's more of a competition right. of, hey, let's make the best product possible.
Right. Very friendly competition.
A really good example of that.
It's just to make a better beer.
A really good example of that is Greg Koch, one of the owners of Stone, did a video a couple weeks ago. Mike, you saw this, right?
The
I'm a craft brewer video, mm-hmm. which look it up on YouTube. I'm a craft brewer. Yeah, it's a great little video about with all the craft brewers around the country. But anyway, on to the actual beer that we're going to be tasting today. Once again, it's Stone's Arrogant Bastard Ale. It's classified as an American strong ale. The alcohol by volume is 7.2%, which is, you know, it's a pretty hefty little beer. The hops are a big secret. They obviously are keeping their recipes tight to the chest. They have this beer has a rate beer rating of 99 out of 100, which is extremely high. The Beer Advocate ratings are, its user rating is an A-, which I looked on there and there was somebody that had given it a D-.
Nice.
Which, yeah, whoever that person is, I don't value your opinion. So stop
either
listening
that,
now.
We can say that if you decide that you want to try craft beer, this may not be the one to try first time out.
Yeah.
Because it could potentially turn people off altogether. Yeah. This is definitely kind of an acquired taste.
In fact, in regards to that, right on the bottle, this is off of the label of the bottle itself. It says, Arrogant Bastard Ale. This is an aggressive beer. You probably won't like it. It is quite doubtful that you have the taste or sophistication to be able to appreciate an ale of this quality and depth. So even they say, you're probably not going to like it. Right. But trust us. You will love it.
Yes.
Once again, the BA Beer Advocate users an A-, and the brothers, the Beer Advocate brothers, the Alstrom brothers, gave it an A. With no further conversation needed before
we open it. Can we open it? Can we open it?
Crack it open.
All right. Here we go.
Yes.
And on the top of the bottle cap here, it says, hated by many, loved by few.
I would definitely count myself among the few.
Yes.
And I guess if we're reviewing a beer, we probably shouldn't, like, extol its virtues before we've actually reviewed it.
Rave about it before we...
Well, we can't say... this is not our first time trying this beer.
Well,
we have to say that we've had this. And, you know, being from San Diego, we've had it on tap as well. Some maybe even had it on cask. So we're no stranger to the Arrogant Bastard.
Well, I was telling you guys earlier that it's actually been a while since I've had it. It's probably been, I don't know, a year or two since I've had it. And that was after a night of drinking beer. So, you know, it's kind of like what I remember was kind of, you know, getting... boxing in the ring for a few rounds and then
yeah.
walking outside.
That's a good analogy. Yeah, I like that. After, you
know, it's kind of how the night went. So it was a little too much.
I only got about a finger of head.
I definitely got a good
have over there.
I got a good two fingers on mine. So I think a finger and a half, two fingers. It's a nice
me too.
Tan colored head. Very, very frothy and just lots of lace on the side of the glass.
Yeah,
the color it's a very red, pretty clear. There's not too much. It's dark, so it's still hard to see through. But it's not cloud, but it's not cloudy by any means.
I would say it's like
red.
Brown with like a red hue.
No,
kind of throughout.
Yeah. Any thoughts on the aroma?
Well, hops.
Yeah. Really, hops? I'm not getting any hops.
Some earth tones really? In there.
No, that's a lie. This is an extremely hoppy beer.
Yeah.
They use very, very aggressive hops. In fact, I'd tell you what those aggressive hops were if they hadn't, like...
If they, yeah, decided kept to post them ever. I can almost... Like, I think I smell, like, pine.
Yeah, I get that.
And you can smell... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It does smell very earthy to me. Kind of like a... Like, almost soil kind of earthy.
Yeah, but you're definitely getting that... This beer is very aggressive in many respects. It's you're definitely getting a strong hop note, but you also still get a strong malt aroma coming out of it, too.
I mean, everything about this... It's very malty.
Definitely.
Very really roasty malt, you know?
Everything about this beer is very aggressive and very, like, in your face.
But I can say that with Stone's Arrogant Bastard, though, I think that it's probably their most well-balanced out of all their beers. I think balance-wise, I think it's probably, I think it's the best.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I don't love, you know, a lot of their other styles, but I definitely think that...
The only thing that, the only one that I like more than this is the Oaked Arrogant Bastard.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That'll probably be a
taste. The only one I like better. The only one I like better than that one is the better version of that one.
All right, let's taste it.
All right, so you guys, you want to like each talk about, we talked about the smell. You want to like kind of take, like start with the taste and kind of go around? Or, I mean, how you want to, it's up to you guys, however you want to do it.
Go for it, Toby.
It's quite a mouthful.
I'm holding back the jokes.
It's actually not as bitter as I was expecting it to be. But it's definitely, it has real big malts too. Once you taste it, the malts really come out. Mm. The roasted caramel kind of malts. The hops are there. You get the bitterness. Real nice. Nice bittering hops. Not. I wouldn't say floral at all. I would say more of the citrusy type of grapefruit. Definitely get some grapefruit in there with the bitterness. Yeah, as the beer, because we've had the beers sitting out at room temp now, so yeah. It's pulled them out of the fridge, 15, 20 minutes ago? So it's definitely, it's now
this is,
it's
yeah, this is the perfect
I think a lot
temperature
of the flavors are really starting to come out.
Yeah, it really does make a difference when it's warmed up a bit. And I think the sweetness of the malt and the caramel like definitely comes out, I think, when it's warmer. The alcohol's there, but it seems like the hops kind of...
Yeah.
I don't know. Like I said, I think this is one of the best balanced beers. Like, there's more going on than so many other beers, but they balance it out, I think, better than anybody else could with a beer that's this bold and strong, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, something this strong, usually, you know, you'd either get, you know, just a overwhelming hop sense that would just kill everything else, or, you know, malts that would just be incredibly sweet and just not letting the hops through at all. But this one is not that at all. It's very well balanced.
It's got rich. It's got a good mouthfeel without being too thick. I think you know what I mean. Like it's good, solid, but it's not like over. It's not incredibly thick. You know?
Yep. And it's got a nice lingering flavor that doesn't linger too long, but still, you know, you can definitely get some. It plays a lot on your tongue. I mean, your first little sip, you'll get a lot on the front, and as it goes down the back of your throat, you're getting, you know, a lot of that sweetness on the back of your tongue. And
I can't say that it's not as sweet as it is on tap. It seems a little less sweet than I remember it being on tap. Now, that could just be, you know, I could be wrong with that, but I think I remember on tap that it was definitely sweeter.
I get some, towards the end, you get this, a lot of grassiness, like kind of after, you know, the aftertaste, you get some grassy, kind of dry grassiness. A little bit of sweetness, too, of the like, the
yeah, that's what's crazy. Like, we're all saying that it's sweet, but yet dry. And yep. You know, most of the time, if it's sweet, it's not dry, or if it's dry, it's not sweet. So, it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, I see what you mean about that grass on the back. Excellent. It's so good.
I really like this. This is good stuff.
So, we want to go take a trip around and then see how we want to rate it. Just so everybody out there knows, we've, at least for now, decided to go with a kind of generic rating system as far as, you know, a 1 out of 5 ratings. We are going to base it on pint glasses, so so a 1 to 5 pint rating. Mike, how do you feel about the Arrogant Bastard Ale?
I mean, with the criteria that we laid down here, as far as the, you know, the smell, the taste, the feel, I'm going to say 4.5 pints. No, sorry, I'm gonna say,
like, you don't sound very,
I think 4.5, because I don't know, for some reason I'm hesitating to give it 5, just because, you know, here's the first podcast we're giving over, well, hey, this is the best. It's like, well, then where do we go from here? So and not that it's not, it's definitely up there, but there's beers that I enjoy quite a bit, you know, maybe above this, but I don't know, I think 4.5, that, I mean, that's pretty damn good.
I'll tell you, in regards to where do we go from here, my review isn't a 5 on the on our individual reviews. It's definitely not. so there's definitely room to move. But yeah. Toby, how do you feel about the Arrogant Bastard Ale?
You know, I really like it. I would not, out of 5. I would give it a 4, and the only reason why is because I could probably just have one of these. That's the only thing that is knocking it down. I really like it. I think it's really good, but as far as the drinkability, I think that one, if you get the one, you know, what is it, the pint,
big old 22. Yeah, I'm drinking out of the same one, I think.
The big bottle that they sell it in.
Yeah.
One of those, I think it's great, but anything after that, to me, I think
me and Chris are going to have to disagree with you.
Yeah,
I think we could have a couple of pints of this. Maybe it's the beards.
I think I could do at least. I think I could do 2 of them. But
I think you do have to grow a beard if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, if you had a beard, dude, you could drink more.
Oh, okay. Oh, don't get me wrong. I will finish this bottle. I mean, it's good like that, but I'm just saying, kind of like how I was saying earlier about drinking it at the end of the night of drinking, I wouldn't pick this one anymore. If I was going out and I was drinking pint after pint,
because you didn't want to taste anything after just that, because you didn't want to taste anything night, for the rest of the night. Is that why?
Well, I guess
after this, you could drink Bud Light all night because you can't taste it anyway, so it starts to make. No, I know. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, it's not destroying my mouth, but as far as, you know, as it sits in my belly,
it's definitely a filling.
One of these, and I'm good. Plus, it's a 7.7.
Yeah, I'm
ABV, you know. But
I'm definitely.
It's definitely delicious, and I'm giving it a 4 out of 5. Maybe 4.25. Okay.
All right. Shit. Yeah, I'm definitely in line with 4. You guys. I think it's a great beer. I think I'd probably go. It's so hard for me not to give it a 5. I do agree with Toby that you can't drink, you know, a whole lot of this. I mean, I could drink my share of it, but yeah, it's definitely not a session beer. It's not something you sit down and
no, it's not a session beer.
And spend all night drinking. That being said, I think it's an outstanding beer. I think it's definitely one of the best examples of an American strong ale, which is you know, an up-and-coming style that is very competitive. And Stone is just excelling in that area. The brewery in general is a very aggressive brewery. You know, they're all about trying extreme things and the cutting edge of the extreme beer.
But not getting too crazy. You know, they're not inventing.
No, because I've had those too. I've had breweries that have tried to take those styles. I had one that tried to brew with spruce, and that was, oh my God, horrible. But yeah, I mean, they're not that crazy, but they're definitely aggressive, and they're definitely about bringing out those flavors that are used in creating beer. You know, they definitely want, hey, this is a hop, and this is what it tastes like, and this is what it tastes like. So it's in your face and very upfront about what they do. I think, you know, it's hard for me not to give it a 5, so I am going to give it a 5 pints out of 5. It's a great beer. It's a great example of a brewery doing things right. So that's how I feel. Mike, I know you wanted to do our reviews and stuff. You were kind of thinking about, you know, recommending a pairing with a food. That was kind of an idea that you had, and you want to take a stab at what you could recommend our listeners.
Well,
have this with?
Yeah. Normally, the food pairing thing's definitely something I wanted to do. With Arrogant Bastard, it's definitely tougher, I think, for me to pair food with it. But
I think you're definitely going to want to have something with some bold flavors.
Yes, absolutely. Anything, I mean, really spicy barbecue. I'm not sure how, like, a Thai food would pair with it. I guess I'd have to try it out to be able to recommend it. And then unfortunately I didn't really come up with a good food pairing as I did with the individual one. But I would say anything that's got kind of a good kick to it is going to complement the beer, because you can have something spicy and it's not going to take away from this beer. This beer's got a lot going on, and you know, by having something really spicy is not going to mask what this beer's got to offer, for sure.
Yep.
I would say even some stinky cheese, you know. Like
if I was a cheese guy, but that I'm not, and I apologize for that.
I totally agree with that. A really good cheese would be nice with this.
Damn non-cheese guy. Cheese hater.
Yeah. So on that note, you guys
we've
have
had onion rings,
add?
Right? Wasn't it doing
the beer bastard? Yeah, the arrogant
the
bastard
beer
battered onion rings.
So I'll say
awesome.
That.
At the
festival, we tried some arrogant bastard beer battered onion rings that they have kind of every year. It's kind of a signature thing for them, and they're quite good. So, yes, the beer mac and cheese
is good as
well. All right, let's stop talking about places we can't eat right now. Especially when someone's over 3,000 miles away from the place.
All right, and with that, I think we're about ready to move on.
Back east, we've got Mike drinking beer. Let's hear what he has to say about this one.
Hello, welcome to Beer Coasters. I'm Mike, and today I'll be reviewing Magic Hat number 9 from Magic Hat Brewing Company in South Burlington, Vermont. Their website is magichat.net. First, I want to apologize to everyone for the way I sound, and I promise I'll have a better microphone for the next episode. Now back to the beer. So, they call this a not quite pale ale. They usually have quirky things written under the cap. And mine says, wait for it, expand your view with things that are new. That one's kind of lame. All right. pour it. See, there's only about a finger of head, maybe. There's virtually no lacing going on whatsoever. It's kind of a relatively clear golden color. It smells of strawberry, and pear, a tiny bit of citrus, and definitely bread. I would say the mouthfeel, it's not too thin. It's good. It's like a pale ale. It's like an English pale ale. It's got a lot of carbonation, but not a bad way. The flavor, it's fruity, but not like one of those sweet fruit beers. And it's definitely apricot, not strawberry. It's got malt, the good malt character, bready. The hops are there, but not as much as the fruit. It looks like they use Cascade and Columbus hops in this beer. I'm a big fan of Cascade hops. But they're not overwhelming in this beer at all. I actually would like to taste them a little bit more. But it finishes pretty dry. It's crisp, and I think I like this beer at a little colder temperature. It kind of complements the crispness, I think, when it warms up. It starts to get a little muddy with the flavors. It gets, I think, the malt and the fruit doesn't mix as well when it's warm, like those flavors to me, anyway. I would say I'm going to rate this one 3.5 pints. I think I say the half because I don't know how many of these I could actually have. So one probably would be left unfinished. Beer Advocate rates it a B, for whatever that's worth. I'm a big fan of Beer Advocate, so don't take that the wrong way. One more thing. I wanted to do kind of a food pairing with each of the beers that I review. So I'd pair Magic Hat number 9 with maybe some Chinese food, but not anything too spicy, because I think that would definitely overpower this beer. I guess that's it. Until next time, for Beer Coasters, I'm Mike. Cheers.
And now, representing the middle of the country, it's time for Chris to drink some beer and tell us what he thinks.
Okay, for my review this week, I'm going to be reviewing the Rahr & Sons Blind Salamander Pale Ale. A little background on the beer and the brewery. Rahr & Sons is a brewery based out of Fort Worth, Texas. They were initially founded in Wisconsin in 1846. But in 2004, they built their brewery here in Fort Worth. The Blind Salamander Brew is part of a series that they've done called the Rare Breed Series, which is going to help endangered species in Texas, the blind salamander being one of them, by donating a portion of the proceeds to Texas Parks and Wildlife Foundation. So that's kind of cool. The style of the beer is an English pale ale. The ABV is a 5.5% alcohol. The rate beer rating is a 55 out of 100, which is kind of low. The Beer Advocate rating is, has a user rating of a B, with the, Ahlstrom brothers not weighing in on this beer quite yet. So let's crack open the beer. So the pour has kind of a frothy two-finger, about off-white head, dissipating fairly quickly. And the color of the beer is kind of an amber with sort of reddish highlights Fairly clear, not too cloudy. So for the aroma, I'm definitely getting some earthy malts, pretty distinct caramel. Hop aroma is not very pronounced, especially for the style. Well, let's take a drink. Fairly carbonated mouthfeel. It's really kind of fizzy, tasting some caramel and biscuity flavor. I'm also getting a little bit of butter, I think. The malt is definitely there, much stronger than the hops. In fact, there's not much hop character at all, which is a little disappointing in a pale ale. I think I'd like to have a little more pronounced hop character. The hops that they're using for this beer are the East Kent Goldings hops, which is a traditional English style hop that's good for the style. I guess I just wish there was a little bit more in there. I'm not really getting much hop character at all. There's a bit of a metallic taste on the back of the tongue that I'm not really liking much. It's got a fairly dry finish. Overall, not a bad beer. I'm not really liking the metallic taste that I'm getting on the back of the tongue. And I think that I would have liked the hops to be a little bit more pronounced, but overall, not bad. I think if I was going to pair this with something, I'd probably go with like a roast chicken with some gravy and mashed potatoes. I think that'd be a good fit. I think I'm going to go with a 2.5 pints out of 5 on this one. I think it's a good, you know, middle of the road grade. That's probably decent for this beer. It's not horrible, but it's not knocking me out either. So, okay, well, thank you very much.
And now out west, it's time for Toby to drink some beer. Let's hear what he has to say about it, shall we? Hey, everybody, this is Toby with Beer Coasters. I am in Las Vegas, Nevada, and today I'm doing my very first beer review for the podcast. And today I will be doing Deschutes Brewing Company's brand new Cinder Cone Red, which was released for the spring this year, 2009. It has a ABV of 5.4, and the IBUs are around 55, so that's pretty good for a red, pretty high. I'm drinking out of the bottle today, and it has a best buy date of 7/9/09, so I'm well within the best it can get, I guess, in a bottle, you know what I'm saying? Okay, so right now I'm going to be pouring it into standard pint glass. It's actually my Green Flash Brewing Company's pint glass from San Diego, California. And now real quick, another thing I like to do with my pint glasses is I like to keep them in the refrigerator. So it'll be the same temperature as the beer, which makes a lot of sense to me, because you don't want the beer glass to be room temp or warm. You pour the beer in there, it's going to do something, it's going to affect the beer in some way. And if the glass is too cold, I know you've had frosty glasses before, whether at home or out at a restaurant or bar, they'll keep their glasses in a freezer or even in a tub of ice. So when they pour the beer, it gives you these chips of ice in your beer floating around. I know you've had that before, and it totally affects the beer. Now, if you're drinking Miller Lite or Coors Light or something that's meant to be really cold, that's fine. You can kill your taste buds all you want on the totally frozen glass or the totally frozen beer. And it just molecularly, you know, it screws up the balance of the beer and everything. So I like to keep my pint glasses in the refrigerator. I like to keep them the same temperature as the beer, so there's no shock. You know, there's no shock to the beer when I'm pouring it into a glass. It's slowly, once it's poured, then it's slowly bringing up to room temperature, which is totally fine with beer. You know, you don't want to shock it into a warm glass or even an ice cold glass. So I like to keep mine in the refrigerator. Is a little tip from your friend Toby in Las Vegas. And how I like to pour it is I tilt the glass about a 45 degree angle. I have the bottle
oh, a couple inches from the mouth of the glass, and I pour directly into the middle of the glass till it reaches about halfway. Then I tilt it upright and continue pouring. Get you a nice, nice thick head on there. Lets the beer, you know, breathe. Gets a lot of that CO2 that's been sitting in the bottle for a while. Gets kind of rid of that and gives you a nice frothy head. Right now I'm looking at it's about 2 fingers worth of head on the top. It's an off-white frothy. So far it's hanging around. As far as the color goes, it's a little hazy. It's a probably a copper color, a lightly cloudy copper color. Got some bubbles in there. As far as the aroma goes, it's the maltiness is average. There's definitely some caramel in there, some grains, even a bit nutty to me. I find it smells a little bit nutty. The hops aroma is pretty average, and some average yeastiness to it, I would say. Also, I can get a little hint of some honey and maybe even some vanilla in there as well. Now I'm going to taste it. Yeah, it definitely has a medium palate. Texture is a little creamy. Soft on the carbonation, I'd say. The duration is pretty average. It stays around for normal amount of time. There's a moderate sweetness to it. Light acidity, light bitterness. I definitely have some. There is some a good amount of hops in there. The hops that they use are the Amarillo hops and the Tettnang hops. The Amarillo hops they're a fairly new strain of hops. They're described as super cascade. So if you're familiar with the Cascade hops, they're described to be a little bit hoppier, a little bit more of the citrusiness, and they're really good for the aroma of the beer. Also, they have some Tettnang hops in here, which is originally a German hops. They've been around since the 1100s, and now they're also grown in the Pacific Northwest in Oregon and Washington. Mostly they're used for lagers and wheat beers, which is kind of interesting for them to have it in a red, you know. And I would say this is kind of I would almost describe this as a Pacific Coast red just because of the extra hops in there. And the fact that it's using these Amarillo type hops in it. I actually kind of like this beer. If I was to give it a rating of pint glasses or coasters, I would give it 4 out of 5. It's actually really good. Drinkability is great. It's not too hoppy. It's got that honey and caramelness in the background. The hops are there. You can definitely taste the citrusiness of the hops. Maybe some grapefruit citrusiness. It's actually very good. Now that I'm actually getting down halfway through the pint glass, the lacing is okay. It's not really sticking around as much as I'd hoped it would, but anyway, brief history of, Deschutes Brewing Company. They've been around since 1988. They're in Bend, Oregon. And this particular beer, the Cinder Cone Red, Cinder Cone is it's from Mount Bachelor, the north slope of Mount Bachelor, which is near Bend, Oregon. After the snow melts, you see this red hill is what they like to call it. So that's kind of where they get the Cinder Cone Red name from Mount Bachelor nearby. Anyway, I actually really like this beer. I would recommend it to anybody who likes reds or even people who like a pale ale and a light, an IPA. IPAs and reds and pale ales, if you like those type of beers, I would definitely give the Cinder Cone Red a try. Especially this time of year, it's perfect in the springtime, coming into summertime very drinkable. Great to be sipping in the backyard while you're having a barbecue or watching the ball game. That's it for me for Beer Coasters. I'm Toby in Las Vegas, and I just reviewed Cindercone Red. It's a seasonal ale from Deschutes Brewing Company in Bend, Oregon. All right, this tweet of the week came from Kasheta. Kasheta said, "Watching straight boys play beer pong and sitting with two trannies. Happy B-Day, Alexis!"
Okay, so this is our feedback segment. Unfortunately, we don't have...
Take it away, Mike. Have any
this is where we get letters from listeners. Each week, we will go over the letters, you know, via email or snail mail or however.
Maybe
we'll
get
them.
Some from Iwo Jima.
Unfortunately, this week, we have no letters. This is our first podcast and nobody's emailed us or given us any feedback of any sort.
So, in other words, you guys are slacking already.
Oh, wait,
already.
We just got one. It says, you suck.
So, this is our letter segment.
You can actually also reply to us on Twitter. Beer Coasters Pod is the Twitter name. So, you can follow us there and respond to our Twitter. And we can read from that as well.
And what's our email address?
The email address is beercoasters@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And you can reach Toby at beercoastertoby@... Oh,
we're,
wait a minute.
No,
is it just Toby at beercoasterspodcast?
We'll fix
we're
that.
We're going to cover that in the closing segment here shortly. So we'll go.
Oh,
ahead.
Okay.
But... Well, for lack of feedback, we still wanted to put the segment in here just so that we can let you guys know that, you know, we do want your feedback and we do want to hear from you, and we will be posting what you guys say about us, good or bad, because we want both.
Should we turn the feedback to suck or blow?
It's gone from suck to blow.
All right, and that is our feedback segment, and that about wraps it up for this week's Beer Coasters podcast. I want to thank Toby and Mike for joining me this week.
Oh, okay, I'll be here next week.
Yes.
Look for us next week.
I'll be here next week, too.
I want to thank everybody for listening.
And continuing weeks to come, hopefully.
So you can check out our website at www.beercoasterspodcast.com. You can email us at beercoasters@beercoasterspodcast.com, or you can individually email us at chris@beercoasters.com. Beercoasterspodcast.com, sorry.
Yes. Mike@beercoasterspodcast.com.
And Toby@beercoasterspodcast.com.
So if you liked what you heard, I'd really recommend that you reach out to your friends who might also be interested in beer and want to listen to us to spread the word. We're definitely going to need that here in the beginnings of the Beer Coasters podcast. Also, you can find us on iTunes. If you just in the iTunes store search for Beer Coasters, you'll find our podcast. You can subscribe there. We're also on Podcast Alley, I believe. So, yeah, you guys have anything closing to say?
Tell a friend and... give us some feedback. That's probably the best way we can grow is to get some feedback.
Yeah. We're going to thrive on the feedback, and we really look forward to having listeners and getting their input, because that's the only way that we're going to progress. That's the only way we're going to get better, and we can actually give the listeners what they want to hear. And that's the greatest part about the internet and having a podcast is we could be, you know, 100% influenced by the people actually watching and or listening. So please give us some feedback. Let us know what you think.
And
about
we can
the show.
Be highly influenced by clicking on our tip link on the podcast site.
Yes. Yes. Tip us. You can buy us beer that we can review, because if we don't have any money to buy beer, we can't review anything, and then the podcast would just be a lot of just, man, I wish I had some beer right now.
Absolutely.
Would you wish it? You know, I really wish I had that arrogant bastard right now. Well.
Excellent.
Please.
Thanks for listening, and we hope you tune in next week.
Cheers.